Let's kick this off with some questions. My mailbox is getting really full, and I didn't really do it last Saturday, so I've kind of got off of a routine with that. Sorry, sometimes I'm not great at routine. Some of this stuff is just ridiculous. Now, not all of these questions do I get sent in, but I do have a lot in my mailbox. But I also comment on questions that I see other places, like when I'm on my Microsoft Edge and you see these things that pop up. A lot of times it shows these questions for like this money site that's like always popping up because it has stuff about the stimulus check. But then they ask questions that has nothing to do with like this money website. And it's just funny the kind of questions that they ask. So this question comes from a woman with two kids and wants to know if it's legal for her 16-year-old daughter to take her son, doesn't give a specific age, to the park for 2 hours and give him McDonald's without her permission. What? Are you serious? Is it legal? Yes. Hell yes. Unless you have something that specifically states that she cannot take him certain places or feed him certain things, like some kind of agreement that you both aware of and you have legal paperwork stating this, then it absolutely is legal. I agree with one person that said, are you kidding? Of course it's legal. She is wanting to spend time with her younger brother. They were having fun. Lighten up and leave them alone. They're kids. And I completely agree. You know, to me, it sounds like just a 16-year-old trying to get out of the house, spend some time with her little brother. It doesn't really give us an age, but maybe she wanted to meet up with her boyfriend and her boyfriend's got a little sister about the same age as little brother, and maybe they wanted to give him a little play date, get him to know each other, you know, because they're dating. I mean, it's not like it's some conspiracy theory. And why does it matter if she gives them McDonald's? I mean, come on, parents. Sometimes as parents, we can bitch about the smallest, most inconvenient little things that don't actually mean a damn thing. And I feel like that is kind of what is going on here. I mean, maybe she took him to the park to feed him McDonald's because you have some strict, crazy rules and, you know, don't let him have anything. But see, here's the thing. And I speak from experience. Yes, we have to be strict about what our kids eat and drink and how much they consume it. Because we don't want our kids getting heart problems or getting kidney problems or having a whole mouthful of decay or getting diabetes or anything like that. But you have to find the balance. Because speaking as a child from experience, if you are so strict that you don't even let your kids have McDonald's every once in a while, well, maybe not McDonald's because I hate McDonald's, so I wouldn't really support that unless it's maybe like a frozen Coke or their chocolate chip cookies, which are the bomb. But if you do not let them have whatever it is that they want to have, like whether it's a can of Coke or whether it's, you know, McDonald's every once in a while, then every time you're not around, somebody else is going to be feeding that to them, or they are going to be finding some way to get that. And then maybe they will have those issues because of how much they consume, because you never let them have any of it. And that's the simple truth of the matter. If you sit there and let your kids have only one can of pop for a week or a month, and the rest of the time it's water and 100% juice, I guarantee you that whenever you're not around, if they're old enough, they're going to be getting that pop. Because once a month is not okay for most kids. Now, some kids may grow up and not want a lot of pop. There's very few men that I know that rather drink tea and things rather than pop. And most of those men are because they had it too much growing up, and it made them sick. So now they don't like to drink it. But if you don't let them have anything, even once in a great while, they're going to find a way. And if they're young, I don't know how old this kid is, but if the kid is 2 or 5 years old, they'll be going into somebody else's house whenever they go for like a sleepover or to visit, and they'll be sneaking it. And that's not what you want either. And when they get older, they'll steal money out of your purse to go across the street to the hospital to buy some candy or get a pop or bag of chips out of the vending machine. That's not what you want. I would seriously advise that you really pull in the reins a little bit and think about what you're doing and see if some kind of compromise can be met. See if you can find some kind of balance to where you are getting what you want, obviously, because you're the parent and you're in charge. But yet, your child is also benefiting so that you don't have to worry. Okay, if I turn my back today, will you be in a sugar coma by the time I come back? Not that I endorse getting McDonald's food, because I don't. There's only a couple things I would ever eat from McDonald's. Their food is straight up nasty, and I worked there when I was pregnant, so I know how they do things. But you have got to give a little. I was one of those kids to where I had one parent that was very strict on how often they gave me soda, and then I had another parent that gave it to me all of the time. They would give me so much crap that they made me a fat girl at a young age, and then bullied me because I was getting chubby. But that's because they would have me eating way too much of that bad stuff, like bologna, because this parent would never buy anything else other than like little lunch meats and hot dogs and bologna, because they wouldn't work for their family. And then I had another parent that didn't want me to have kidney disease or get diabetes, or, you know, I had pretty good teeth when I was younger, so didn't want me to have to go to the dentist every other week. It's kind of hard to do when you have two parents that are doing two different things, because it really messes with your system. And I wish that my parent hadn't done that when I was younger, because I was a very thin kid. And even going into adulthood, in the beginning of my adulthood, I was very skinny. I was maybe not skinny, but I was thin. And, you know, then I had curves. But now it's just... And I don't even eat that junk anymore. But he had got so much of that nasty stuff inside of me that it just wasn't good. They teach kids in school now in health class, and they start teaching this to them in middle school, that meats like bologna and hot dogs, especially when they're uncooked, are not good for you. And that's all my parent would supply to me. And he would make me eat like 2 sandwiches at a time. And then make me eat like 2 desserts and a big bag of chips and everything else. I kind of feel like he tried to make me fat and then bullied me when I did get that way. You don't want that for your kid. I wouldn't want that for my kid. Who would? Find a balance. Compromise. Find something that makes you happy. Maybe that's why your 16-year-old took your son to the park for a couple hours and got a McDonald's. Or maybe they just wanted to get out of the house after being stuck in the house so long with COVID. Maybe they just wanted to get out of the house for a while. Pull back the reins. Okay, next question. I owe back rent and was served a 15-day or quit. So I moved out. Now, former landlord is requesting the back rent I owe him. Am I obligated to pay it back since I moved? Okay, 2 things.
What? I have never in my life, and I've been kicked out of some places, but I've never in my life heard of a 15-day or quit. So either you're not putting something in there, right? Your landlord's dumb, or you're dumb. Sorry, not sorry, but never heard of that. Ever. And I've been kicked out of some places. Now, they can get a cease and desist order on you. But that has nothing to do with a quit order. A
cease and desist would mean that they want you to quit living there and quit not paying them their rent. But yes, you're obligated, second of all, to pay them their back rent. They can sue you. They can take you to court and sue you for every single penny that you owe them that you have not paid them. So my advice would be, since you've already moved out, you need to make nice with them and you need to get on some kind of payment plan with them or something. Otherwise, one of 2 things, if not both, are going to happen. One, they can get you on the no rent list. And trust me, that's going to make your life very hard. Because when you're on that, many landlords don't want to rent to you. And they don't want to take chances with you. They don't want to accept late payments. They don't want you having trouble coming up with the deposit and then asking them, hey, can I pay some of it now? And pay a little bit on top of the rent next month. They're not going to work with you, because they're going to see you as a bad renter, because this landlord had put you on a do not rent list. It's like the do not fly list for the airplanes. They see you as a threat. And we are in a day and age where nobody wants to take risk on who they rent to and losing money and losing their homes. That's why most of the times nowadays, people want you to make sure that you have enough in your paycheck to cover 3 months of rent. So that way, if something happens to rent 1 month, you have it covered. So they want you to make 3 times your rent. Some places will want you to make 2 times your rent or 4 times your rent. And if you don't, then they're not going to rent to you. There's a lot of people out here that do not want to take chances on you for this reason. And if your landlord decides to sue you for all the money that you owe them, yeah, depending on how much it is, especially, they will have your ass handed to you. So I suggest you don't try and dodge them and you come up with a payment plan. Don't be stupid. This question begs laughter. Should people that have had COVID get the vaccine, or are they already immune? But here's the thing. COVID is not chickenpox. If you've never had chickenpox before, then you don't realize this. But if you have had chickenpox before, then you already know that if you've had chickenpox once, you can't ever get it again. If you've never had chickenpox before, you don't really understand that. But COVID is not chickenpox. And when you get older, if you've already had chickenpox, you have a higher risk of getting shingles, which is kind of like a chickenpox times 10. And that's why a lot of people get vaccinated for it, because it's really painful. And apparently it feels like it's burning, it's itching. I have not had it. I have not gotten up into the age where I need to worry about it. But I have had chickenpox. So it's something that I have thought about. Like, if I would ever want to get vaccinated for this in the future, because I know that it's a possibility that I have a very high chance of getting it. It's something that everybody needs to just decide on their own. From what I have read, if you get vaccinated, it does lower your chance dramatically, but for only up to a certain time. There was a research study that said that you have a better than 95% immunity for at least 9 months after infection. But that is not a guarantee, and that is not a forever type of thing. That is a for a limited time, temporarily type of thing. You have to decide what it's worth and if you want to take that chance or not. Okay, since that was a short time, let's move on to another question. Is smoking 2 to 3 cigarettes a day normal? Well, what's normal to you? There are chain smokers that smoke 20 cigarettes a day. To them, that extent of how much they smoke, that would be normal because they do it every day. if you are a person that smokes maybe once or twice a week, and then you're going to two or three times a day, then no, that's probably not normal, and you probably need to get some stress management or something. This question says, can you heal a leaky gut without supplements? What kind of crime did you commit that you have to try and heal a leaky gut at home without taking any supplements? That's my question. And speaking of crimes, have you ever been with someone when they committed a crime you were unaware of what happened? I personally have not been, but my sister was in a situation to where she had actually gotten arrested when the drug strike force bursted into where she was. I don't know if she was aware that they had been watching them for drugs for some time or not. But she happened to be at a friend's house whenever the drug strike force was watching the house and was watching the friends, and they ended up getting busted, and then she ended up getting arrested. I'm pretty sure that no files of any kind of charges were ever on her, and I think they let her go because they realized that she had nothing to do with it. But the thing with that, though, is whether you're aware of it or not, you have just become an accomplice. There are true movies that you can watch on Lifetime and see those situations and see what has happened to them. I just recently had watched a true story. It was not on Lifetime, I don't believe, but it was a true story, and it was about a woman that was dating a man, and she had two small kids, and they got her as an accomplice in this drug ring that she had absolutely nothing to do with. The ex-boyfriend at the time, because she had broken up with him. So the ex-boyfriend, when they went to court after everybody that was involved got busted, he even tried to tell them that she had nothing to do with it. But in that state at the time, and this was many years ago, but in this particular state at this particular time, if you even take a message that has to do with a drug deal, whether you know if it has to do with a drug deal or not, and you pass that message along to your spouse or your significant other or even a friend or a sibling, your ass is now accountable for that. After years of that happening, they got some different laws that had changed those accountability laws. But this woman spent half of her kids' lives in prison, away from her family, when she had nothing to do with it at all. She walked in once, seen that they were all smoking pot, and that a couple of them had exchanged money, and that's when she broke up with him, had nothing to do with him anymore. And she had taken a message for him before, but she did not know that it was a message from a drug dealer or from a client, because he was a drug dealer and he was a drug buyer. So she had no idea. And the And all the message said was that it was just a message, no, just to call him back. Just that he had called for him and just to call him back. And that was it. And then she spent, I believe, almost 10 years or maybe 12 years in prison for it. And what they told her about the time where she knew that they had been out there smoking pot and seen money exchange, and that's when she broke up with her boyfriend because she did not want that shit around her kids. They told her that because she did not call the police and report it to the authorities, that she was culpable for that. Complete bullshit all around. I'm so glad I did not live in that state at that time when all that shit was going around, because I'd been pretty pissed if I knew that somebody was doing drugs and I did not know that I had to call and report them, and I ended up getting taken away from my kids and my house being thrown in prison. I'd have been pissed. Everybody would have been paying for it. Because I would have got out there one way or another, because I'd be in the law library every single day researching my case, getting help, and getting the hell out of there. There ain't no way. So I'm glad that that got changed a little bit. But it is a very real reality that shit like that happens. You can just be with a person that has done something wrong and your ass is going to go down for it. So pick the best people you can surround yourself with and be around the right people, the good people that you definitely want to have in your life, and not anybody that you don't see bringing good into your life. If they're bringing bad into your life, you don't need them. Okay, my landlord wants to evict me because I'm not clean enough. Can he do that? Okay, so that depends really on if you have a lease or if there's something stipulated in your lease. Because just having a messy house or not being clean enough, that's really neither here or there. Really doesn't matter at all. You know, but if you have a lease and if your landlord thinks that you are like a very dirty person, then they can do a lot of things. You have to be breaking some rule within the lease for them to completely kick you out. You have to be like a complete pig and your house is a complete pigsty. If your house is cluttered or your house is a little bit messy or something, then landlords really don't care about how clean you keep their house, as long as it's not anything that's going to be tearing up their house. You see what I'm saying? Like, if you don't vacuum every day, or if you don't pick up some toys or something like that, or dust every day, and they're like a neat freak or something, and they're upset because you're not dusting every day or vacuuming every day, then no, they can't kick you out for that. But if you've got like 12 bags of trash piled up in the kitchen and you're tearing up things in their house, then that's another thing. Especially if it says in the lease that the tenant will keep the house nice and clean and sanitary and will take care of the house, take care of the yard and such, then that is your responsibility. And if you have kids, And if they are worried about the cleanliness, they can be real douches about it, and they can call DFS on you and have DFS go look around. And maybe they don't see the whole place, or maybe they've only been in the front room and haven't, you know, checked the whole house or something. So they can have somebody that can go do that for them and let them know how the conditions of the house is. And then they can say that you violated the lease. Break any rule on the lease, they can say that you violated it. All right, so we're going to answer some COVID questions. Now, just to remind everybody, or if you're a first-time listener, thank you, by the way. But I am not a COVID analyst. I'm not a COVID specialist. I have had to work with numbers and research of COVID, but I am not an analyst or an expert or anything like that. So whatever I tell you is just research that I've had to do for work, or research that I have done for my own self and family, and my personal advice of what I believe. So, with that said, let's kick this off with this first question. How bad is COVID-19 going to be in Texas in a month or two? I don't know, because I'm not that psychic. I've had a couple of psychic flashes and what feels like premonitions when I dream or when I see something in my head. And as much as I wish I could say I was that super psychic, I'm not. I know a lot about what's going to happen in my future, my family's future, but we can't really predict how a virus is going to be in a month or two. That really depends on a lot of things. That depends on how many people are getting the vaccine. That depends on how many people are following the rules and doing what they're supposed to be doing. That depends on how many people are getting infected and passing that on to infect other people. That depends on a lot of things. It could be better in a month, or it could be worse in a month. And then it can get better in 2 months, or it can still be pretty bad in 2 months. There's no real way to tell that, because we are not psychics. And even some of the people that claim to be psychics, I don't even believe to be psychics. But we have no idea. We can make our own guesses. We can make our own predictions. But nobody really knows. You just got to be smart, bro. Personally, I think that all these mandated mass droppings, you know, that are getting dropped to where you're not going to be mandated to wear a mask anymore, I think that that is complete nonsense. And I think that that should not be the case. I think that they should have something in line, you know, because at first it was just the people that have been vaccinated. But now we're trying to keep people that haven't been vaccinated out of certain places. But how do you know that a person has been vaccinated and that's why they're not wearing their mask? Or if they're just not wearing their mask? You don't know. It's not like somebody stays up at the front and asks for proof on if you've been vaccinated or not. People are trying to go into restaurants without masks. People are making food with no mask. People are not being as careful as they should be. They are not being as cautious as they should be. And if that's going to be the case, then it's not going to be any better in a month or 2 months. if people are going to be taking off their masks, then they need to at least still have the mandates to where people need to stay 6 feet apart from each other. Or they need to be doing something that they can see proof that these people have been vaccinated. Because people are just walking into the grocery store around so many other people without getting back and giving people their space. And without proving that they've been vaccinated. And so far, it's been that if people have been vaccinated, they don't have to wear their mask in the store. But how do you know? Because you're not up there getting some type of proof that shows that that person has been vaccinated. So you're letting people into the grocery store that maybe have not been vaccinated, and they're still getting that stuff all over the food that other people will be looking to buy. If you have it and you're coughing and you're not washing your hands or wiping your hands with antibiotic, you know, sanitizer, then you're getting that on the fruits that somebody else can come get, and then you've spread the infection. So it's a whole mess. Nobody knows. There's a lot of people that thought that it wouldn't be lasting this long. And then there's other people that are saying that, like a psychic had said, that there was this book that had been written by a Chinese man who had predicted all of this stuff with this virus was going to happen in the first place. And that everything that he has said has come true and everything. And looking at his book, it says that it's going to last at least another 5 years. So if everything else that this guy has said has been coming true and he really did foresee all this, we could be in it for another 5 years. So, you better buckle up. What are the pros and cons of getting vaccinated? In other words, are COVID-19 vaccinations safe? It can be and it cannot be. It really depends. I do not believe that they are safe enough to give my family. Now, every parent has to decide for their own family. They have to decide for their own kids. They have to decide for their own family. They have to decide for themselves. And then if they feel that it is worth it, then they should get it. And if they don't feel that it's worth it, then they should not get it. Nobody can make that choice for you. It has been said that a lot of people that have had it have died. And a lot of people that have not had it have died. There are people that had been waiting to have it and had not had it yet, but have had the virus, and saying that it stays with you for years. But there's other people that have had the vaccine and they said that they have never gotten better. There's other people that have had the vaccine that they say they feel completely fine and it makes them feel really good. So you really have to take that on yourself, and you really have to decide what you want to do and what's going to be the right thing for you. And if you feel that it's going to be safe for you and your kids, and you want your kids to be able to get back to school and everything, then you need to do what's best for your family. Nobody can make you do anything. Okay, so more COVID questions. Not like we haven't all got tired of talking about the virus. Should I take the COVID vaccine if I've already had the infection? I think we just answered a similar question to that, but a little bit different. I mean, if you've already had it, then I really don't see the harm is in getting vaccinated so you don't get it again, because there's a good possibility you could get it again. Is it COVID risky to get a cavity filled at the dentist? Half of my childhood filling fell off. I honestly do not know about that one. I would not feel comfortable doing it, honestly, unless it was something that really, really needed to be done. If it's just a cavity that's just like barely a cavity and it's not causing any more damage, I would try and wait a little bit, or I would make sure that the doctor has been vaccinated, the dentist has been vaccinated, people in the room are going to be vaccinated, and that they should already be wearing masks anyways. But there was one woman that said that they asked her to wear a mask and to cancel if she was having a fever or any respiratory symptoms. But see, the thing is, how are you going to wear a mask when you're getting dental work done? See, that's the thing that I would not understand, because when you're getting dental work done, you're not going to be able to wear a mask. So, I mean, and you're supposed to wear a mask in all doctor's offices right now. It's still mandatory for if you're in a doctor's office, then you're supposed to be wearing one. But you're not going to be able to wear one when you're having dental work done. So you need to think about how much of a risk you want to take. I mean, nobody's going to be breathing on you, because they should obviously be wearing masks, you know. Most doctors, when they come in for stuff like that, sometimes dentists aren't. So, you know, maybe you can ask them to wear a mask. Why do some people only have mild symptoms from the coronavirus, the vaccine, where others feel really ill? Does it affect their level of protection? Just like with any medicine, people are going to have difficulties with what they're going to have difficulties with. And they may have symptoms that other people may not have, because they may be more tolerant to certain side effects, or they may not. I mean, there are babies that get shots, you know, every couple of months whenever they're really young and they're babies and toddlers, and then it starts to go to like every year. And some of them hate shots, even to this day, my 14-year-old does not like getting needle shots. And a lot of kids don't. A lot of adults don't even like needles and don't like getting shots or like getting blood work done. So it really just kind of depends on a lot of things. I mean, no one person is the same. Even twins can deal with things differently.